pray. Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up your name. What a beautiful Sunday that you have set apart for each one of us to give our hearts and our strength and our mind. May your name be lifted up on high from the bottom of our heart. Father, thank you for your glorious invasion on earth, that you touched down your spirit upon us, and you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, so that we can understand your kingdom, you can understand your heaven, we can understand your plan. Father, thank you for us to understand and know you and deeply develop our relationship with you, Father, as days go by. We ask your Holy Spirit to hover over us and fill us up to live as a glory to your name. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Among the men of God through the Bible, in what ways is Daniel special? Perhaps because we can associate Daniel a bit more easily than other biblical characters who lived dramatic lives. He did not perform miracles like Moses did, nor delivered millions of people. He did not conquest the land like Joshua did, nor had he fought with millions of enemies with his sword. Daniel spent most of his life in the office, serving his employers, two kingdoms and three kings over 70 years. His life appeared to be monotonous and simple. Day in and day out, he does the same thing over and over again. But there are many outstanding things we can discover from Daniel's life. He had cultivated the great integrity that stands out. What are the marks of Daniel's integrity? Please turn with me to Daniel 6. We are going to read the first three verses to begin with. And here's the word of God. Daniel 6, 1 to 3. It seems good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. By now, Daniel was reappointed by the new kingdom, Persia. Babylon was gone down, and Persia has risen. And Darius II, the new king in Persia, he wanted Daniel to be the top man of his kingdom. And surprising news in this passage is that Daniel was appointed to be one of the three commissioners, basically among the top three men who will support the king. If you think about it, when a new empire has risen, they normally kill everyone who were loyal to the old empire. But Darius II, the new king of Persia, recognized the quality of Daniel. So he put Daniel into the right position for his sake. And verse 3 we read basically tells us that His excellence was there because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. What does that mean? Extraordinary spirit. And the word spirit is ruach, which means literally wind. He's bringing a different atmosphere or a different spirit or different attitude to the people around him. Daniel possessed excellent qualities in attitude. As a man of God, Daniel was supernaturally natural, and naturally supernatural. His attitude was naturally excellent because he possessed God's spirit in him. So that relationship with God was manifested in his daily interface with people. So he was bringing a high spirit to the people around him. That's basically what it means. He possessed an extraordinary spirit. So the first mark of Daniel is an excellent attitude. Excellent attitude. What attitude do you bring to the people you interface? Day in, day out, especially to your family members and especially to the people that you interface at your work or at your school or at your business and so on. John Maxwell said, "People may hear your words, but they feel your attitude." And Winston Churchill said, "Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference." You know, I believe this is the thing that Daniel, day in, day out, he was bringing a very high spirit because he possessed the Spirit of God in him. So whoever observe him, they are encouraged. They are boosted up because of the attitude that Daniel was bringing in. What is your attitude you show in your relationships? Is that cynical, angry, agitated, gloomy, prideful, or humble, peaceful, joyful, and hopeful? And I believe our attitude toward people is a reflection of our attitude toward God. The secret of Daniel's excellent attitude is only the reflection of his internal spirituality with the Lord. So he was supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. It goes together. Whatever his attitude he had toward God was manifested toward the people that he interfaced every day. So whoever sees Daniel, they got boosted up, in a sense. Darius too doesn't know him very well, but when he saw him, I can only imagine that his morale boosted up. That's why he wanted to employ Daniel. So check your attitude. What kind of attitude do you have every day? Check your attitude. Let's read verses 4-6, also on the screen. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find the ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to governmental affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows, "King Darius, live forever." So king's plan to promote Daniel to the top official faced a stiff resistance. The jealous co-workers of Daniel tried to find fault with Daniel. Look at verse 4 once more. Then the commissioners and the satrap began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption insomuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was found in him. So second mark of Daniel's integrity is faithfulness, his faithfulness at work. His faithfulness at work. It seems that corruption and negligence were prevalent in Persia. That's why the king Darius II appointed three people to be in charge of the governors so that they would not fraud against him. In the old ancient empire, everything belongs to the empire. So empire needs to protect his properties and taxes and so on. And Daniel was one of them who was employed by the Darius II. And he was very honest and transparent. There's no negligence whatsoever. He was very faithful at his work. And the faithfulness at work is an important principle, not just in Daniel's life, but also the New Testament, Scripture. Colossians 3:22 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord, rather than for men." So whatever you do, whatever assignment God has given you, the New Testament principle is to do it as if we do to the Lord God himself. And that's exactly what Daniel did. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." The same principle being repeated over and over again in the New Testament references. Whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. And John Calvin, one of the reformers, once said, "No task will be so sordid and base," which means lowly, "provided you obey your calling in it, that it will not shine and be reckoned very precious in God's sight." You know, what he meant is, in every task, whatever the task given to us is God's calling and precious in God's sight and deserves our faithful service to such a task, whether such a task is highly or lowly. So in whatever we do, we have an opportunity to glorify God. That's basically what John Calvin is saying, which resonates with what Daniel's life is all about and also the New Testament references. So if you are called to be a homemaker or staying home father or staying home mother, this day they call now, they don't call homemaker anymore, staying home parent, right? If you are called to be a homemaker, to faithful service with your children, and so changing messy diapers diligently and cheerfully would be for the greater glory of God. And, you know, I stayed once at home and tried to give a ride to my children. And I found out it was such a difficult task. Just try to pick up them on time and wait for them to come, and they don't necessarily come on time. You have to wait and let them hop into the car and then bring them to another location and so on. It's just so exhausting experience. I felt, I'd rather go to my work and, stay there. It was heaven, actually, compared to that. Staying home is just, a lot of work. And I kind of, I want to encourage for those who stay home and take care of children and house chores. How do you treat your work? And many people say they hate their work. I have heard many people saying, I look for the day of getting out of it. And if you are one of them, I believe God has a message for you today. Be faithful to your service to the world. I said to the world, yes. Whether it is your employer or your clients or your your governmental works, or if you are students, your school work is actually, school is your employer, so you need to be faithful to your work at school. So be faithful to the service to the world as you would to the Lord. So there is no discrepancy here. There's no secular versus sacred as long as the work is concerned. All the work is God's calling to us. As John Calvin said, every vocation is God's calling. Whether it's a secular or sacred, there's no distinction. And we have opportunity to give God glory through our work. So Christians must always serve our homes and employers and clients and governments as if we are serving the Lord, giving our very best with our talents, abilities, and gifts God has given us. So this principle captures the story of Daniel's life. He was faithful at work and bringing an excellent attitude every day. You know, for 70 years, from teenager all the way to his 80s, Daniel served pagan kings and their empires in different capacity and never violated their trust. And he was always diligent in carrying out his responsibilities as if he was serving God himself. So let's think about Daniel. He served his first king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he started as a trainee of the king's council, and he served well. And then he faithfully served the king by interpreting the dream of the king, and then he was promoted to the chief prefect of the entire Babylon. And then Daniel served faithfully to his king through the life crisis of the king, and eventually ushered Nebuchadnezzar to repentance and reinstating. And when King Belshazzar was put in power, we don't hear Daniel for a while, but when the king was in trouble, Daniel was brought back up to the position. And Belshazzar recognized Daniel's faithful service to his need, and Daniel was appointed to the third ruler in the kingdom, although the kingdom did not last more than a day since that point. But Daniel's faithful service continued on from one empire to another. As I said before, this is an almost incredible thing. When regime changes, say from Obama government to Trump government, nobody from Obama government was re-employed by Trump. That's exactly what's happening. But here is even more, because this is empire change from Babylon to Persia, and yet Daniel continued to be employed because people recognized his excellent spirit, his attitude, and his work ethic. So let's go back to the story. So jealous commissioners and satraps could not find any ground based on his governmental service. So they devised a plot to accuse Daniel of his religious practice. Look at verse 7 through 9, and also on the screen if you can read. And all the commissioners of the kingdom, prefects and satraps and high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. So they implemented a law that would cast any violator into the lion's den, and the law will last for 30 days. And under this new law, no one would allow to make a petition to any gods or men other than the king. These enemies of Daniel must have known about Daniel's religious practice of his praying. So this was clearly a setup. So the crisis came. Let's look at the last two verses of today's text. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. So based on these two verses, a third mark of Daniel's integrity, a consistent walk with the Lord. Not only he was exhibiting excellent attitude, excellent spirit, because of his inner spiritual life, and he was faithful at work, but the last, not the least, is his consistent walk with the Lord. No matter what happens, he would do what he has been doing day in, day out. Daniel was a man of unwavering faith in God. I think we need to observe how Daniel reacted against the situation. You know, when Daniel learned of the plot of the jealous governors of Persia, he did not react, nor try to prevent. And he did not say a word to defend him or persuade the king to revert the decree. And Daniel believed in God, who was the ultimate vindicator of the truth. This is a very difficult thing to do, by the way. You know, when people accuse you, it is very hard, if not impossible, to remain calm and silent. In the face of accusation and conspiracy against us, our normal response would be anger and fear and restlessness. But as we try everything we can, and we try to avoid the conflicts. That's our natural and normal responses. But Daniel was different. What is at stake here is whether Daniel would continue to do his prayer in the midst of the new law. Daniel knew fully well any violation of the law means being cast into the lion's den. In the midst of life and death situation, he did not compromise his consistent walk with the Lord. That's the catch here. Verse 11, he entered his house, and actually Hebrew grammar has this connotation. He rushed into his house. No hesitation at all. He did what he has been doing every day. To continue to do what he has been done all his life, which is prayer time to God. Daniel made no attempt to hide his devotion to or his dependence upon God, even though it now meant disobeying a governmental decree. He was a man of unwavering faith in God. He trusted the Lord. He trusted in the Lord and resolved to continue on his prayer to God. You know, Daniel had a particular place where he met with God day in, day out. He has a room in his house, and prayer was his daily habit, not based on feelings or circumstances. He has been doing three times a day prayer all his life, and he's doing again even this day, even after the decree. Have you seen a movie called Chariots of Fire? Yes? This is one of my top 10. I strongly recommend you to watch it if you have not. And even if you watched, watch again. You know, actually, I probably watched 10 times, maybe more. Once in a while, this is an amazing, inspirational movie. It's about Scottish athlete, Eric Liddell. Have you heard of him? Yeah, actually, Eric Liddell learned about in 1924 Paris Olympics. His 100-meter final was scheduled on Sunday. But he committed all his life to observe the Sabbath. He wouldn't compromise. No matter what happens, he continued to serve the Lord on Sunday, do nothing on Sunday. That was his life principle. But he found his final was scheduled on Sunday. What are you going to do? He said he would not run for the Olympic 100-meter final. He trained so many years to imagine the glory of getting gold medal in Olympics, representing the Great Britain. But he decided not to run then 100-meter, the final. All his hope and the glory that he was imagining just dashed out because of it was scheduled on Sunday. So he gave it up. But one of the British the athletes, he said he has another race, but he can give a 400-meter spot to Eric Liddell. So Eric Liddell ran for 400-meter, and he reached the final. Can you think of it? 100-meter and 400-meter in the sprint, they are two different events. There's no one that I know that has won both 100 and 400. It's completely different sports, so to speak. But Eric Liddell, he ran, he reached the final, and he actually won the gold medal in 400 meter in 1924 Paris Olympics, which was held on some other day and Sunday. So God honored him for his commitment, his consistent walk with the Lord. Sunday, very important thing. It looks like nothing, but those who continue to observe Sabbath, they will continue to do so. So Eric Liddell, he did not win 100 meter in 1924, but he was continued to run, and he was the best man in 100 meter, and he was going to run in the next Olympic Games, 100 meter dash. But he went to China instead as a missionary to fulfill his calling from the Lord. He was born in China as a missionary son, and he promised that he will go back to China, and he eventually gave up another Olympic gold for his main event, 100 meter, but rather he chose to serve the people in China as a missionary. And he died in a prison camp when Japanese took over the China. So he died in his early 40s. Like Daniel, Eric Liddell was an example of a consistent walk with the Lord and unwavering faith in God that touches our heart, even to date. So I strongly recommend Chariots of Fire. Check it out, okay? So I think all time, one of the greatest movies. Now let's go back to the story. Let's look at verse 10 more carefully. Verse 10, and it says, there are many components that we need to really observe from verse 10. It said, he entered his house, and now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. So, what does that mean? He opened the window that is heading to the direction of Jerusalem, probably south, right? Because Babylon was north. That means he still have faith in God, that God would restore temple in Jerusalem. When he was taken away, Jerusalem temple was still there, but after a few years, the temple was completely ruined by Nebuchadnezzar, the king that he served. But Daniel prayed day in, day out, three times a day, toward Jerusalem, that God will restore the temple in Jerusalem one day. So he has been praying day in, day out, all his life, and he is doing again. It shows his unwavering faith in God's plan. And second thing is, he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, and praying and giving thanks before his God, before his God. That's worship. Continued to worship him. And he continued kneeling on his knees, his humility, attitude of humility. He cultivated attitude of humility every day. And I believe that was manifested when he faced other people. Humble spirit, humble attitude was manifested so that people would be lightened up whenever they interface him. And three times a day, it's a regularity. Regularity is very important. It's a good habit. People say, oh, habit is legalism. I don't think so. Good habit is, always good. It's something that we need to cultivate. People say, oh, I don't want to be too legalistic. But that's an excuse not to develop a good habit. Good habit is always a good thing because there are so many things can happen in our day. So unless we have a regularity and good habit cultivated, it's very difficult to observe all these good things. And praying, he was doing his petition. And giving thanks before his God. Again, gratitude. Gratitude is one of the greatest attitudes, right? If you see humble people and the people who always give thanksgiving, you know, you want to know those people, right? I think, you know, Daniel was one of them. He cultivated this attitude of gratitude and humility every day. And as he has been doing previously, that's important clause here. As he has been doing previously, it's a consistency or constancy. He did yesterday, and now he's doing again today, in spite of this trap set by his jealous co-workers. And prayer was not an incidental thing in Daniel's life. It was the most essential thing for him. Priority was set on looking up three times a day, remember God. And he was in constant touch with the living God, as the king Darius called Daniel, as a servant of the living God, in verse 20 later. So Darius recognized that Daniel brings the spirit of the living God. So we can emphasize more the importance of consistent walk with the Lord, especially the time with the Lord in prayer and solitude. The living God is active and powerful, and your prayer life makes you in touch with the living God. Life, eternal life. You know, life eternal. Jesus said, I am the life. You know, he brings the spirit of living God unto us when we pray to him in his name. But let's think about this. Daniel did not know whether he would be devoured or delivered. Right? Yet he was at peace because he knew God and trusted in his sovereignty. And, you know, Chuck Swindoll said this amazing thing. I like this. I quoted what he said. You seldom get what you deserve from people. Don't expect it. Did you get it? Okay, you seldom get what you deserve from people. Therefore, don't expect it. But he said, but you always get what is best from God. Never doubt it. I think that's exactly what the attitude of Daniel. Did Daniel know in his heart that God would shut the lion's mouth? I don't think so, right? He didn't have this kind of presumption. God can, but God may not, right? And what he did know was that God could save him. But like his friends, three friends who were sent to the blazing fire, Daniel trusted in God no matter what happens and continued to walk with the Lord. You know, he could be devoured by the lions, and he could die dead, but he would not have any regret left over because he continues to serve the Lord. But thankfully, God saved him from the lion's den. We'll look at this episode next week, so to be continued. So we have developed three things today. Three marks of Daniel's integrity or quality was his excellent attitude. Attitude is everything, I think, because attitude reflects our relationship with God manifested to the people that we interface. And he was faithful at his work. This is a catch. There's no distinction between secular or sacred work. And I believe when you go to church, we are nice to each other. But what about when you go back to work? Do you have the same attitude, same spirit, same faithfulness to your work as you do to the Lord? I think this is something to learn from Daniel. And the last, not the least, is a consistent walk with the Lord. Over 80 years of his life, he was the same person. Consistent. Be faithful and be diligent and be honest and be transparent and be humble and willing to serve with all his ability and capability. That's what he did, day in, day out. So let me give you three applications from today's sermon. I want all of us to cultivate gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude because we are thankful to the Lord. You know, what attitude do you demonstrate from your life? I think gratitude is clearly one outstanding attitude we can cultivate every day. Give thanks to God when you wake up. And give thanks to God in the middle of the day when you are swamped with pressures and, you know, things that you know, other people may impose on you. And give thanks to God when you get stuck in the traffic. How do you respond when you get stuck in the traffic? Give thanks to Him. That's the time to give thanks to Him. You know, instead of, you know, putting all the cursing words in your mind, you know, and getting agitated and try to change your lanes, but give thanks to God. Pause it. And when you go back, you know, go to bed in the evening, give thanks to God that, hey, God, you kept me safe today. You kept everyone safe today. We all went back home, and, you know, everyone is here. Even those small things, we can give thanks to Him. So it's a matter of cultivation. And second application, do not hate your work. Do not hate your work. You can fulfill God's calling and glorify God at what you do. Whether you stay home, taking care of kids, helping kids' homeworks, giving them ride, or you have a, you know, workplace to go, or your own business, you serve your clients, and whatever you do, do not hate your work. Rather, be faithful at your work. Whatever that is, there's nothing that is so lowly before God, as long as we regard those lowly things as God's calling at this juncture of our life and serve with our best ability. God is glorified. And certainly, set apart a place and time to be with the Lord. Develop a habit of consistency with the Lord. You know, how do you develop consistency? You have to have a regular time and place. That makes it easier for you to do, develop a habit of consistency. Like Daniel had his room, sacred chamber, at the roof of his house, that he opened up window and he prayed to God toward Jerusalem every day, three times a day. Likewise, set a place for you. Whether it's your home or work, it doesn't matter, but the same place every day and same time every day, and have a communion with God. Let me challenge this. If you read about 20 minutes of your Bible every day, do you know what will happen at the end of the year? You know that. You know the answer, right? You can read the entire Bible in a year. 3 to 4 chapters, about 20 minutes. Give God 20 minutes, and you will read the entire Bible each year. Isn't that exciting thing that you read Bible once each year and change different translation, and over the course of tens of 20 years and 30 years, you probably read Bible in all different translations that you know of. And I recommend you read a Message Bible. It's a totally different, it's not really a translation, it's a more paraphrasing, but I think it'll help you to cultivate the presence of God with Message Bible. Some people say it's not Bible, but I think it's a good devotional Bible. You can read. You know, you may want to read more than 20 years because it's so different. It's a paraphrasing. But anyhow, would you be willing to give God your 20 minutes every day? Okay? You know, one final note is that even a long-term consistent walk with God may result in great trial. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even a long-term consistent walk with God may result in great trial. That's what happened to Daniel. He was always faithful, consistent, and yet he ran into another life crisis at the age of, 80s. You know, some people may say, it's not fair. You know, who said life is fair? That's what happened to Daniel, but Daniel endured it well. He finished well. If you are in a trial now, don't be discouraged. God would never forget you. And behind the scenes, He is working on your case. We may not see that. We may not feel it, but He's working on your case. Just stay put with the Lord in the spirit of gratitude. And in His time, He will reveal His glory to you. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, the maker of heaven and maker of each one's life in this room, we give thanks to you. We thank you that because you are the only living and true God, and you manifested your goodness through your Son Jesus. And Jesus is image of you, God. And from looking at Jesus, we see you. And from the words we hear from Jesus, we hear your word. And from the Spirit Jesus has given us, we experience the Spirit of the Lord. We thank you for your working on each one of us. And may each day be given to you with the attitude of humility and gratitude. And with that attitude, Father, let us interface people out there. When we meet pride people, let us respond with humility. And with the people who grumbling always, let us interface them with attitude of gratitude. Father God, let us be consistent with our walk with you day in, day out. Give us opportunity to praise you in each and every corner of our life. There's a way that we can praise you. Father, you may receive all the glory and honor from our life. We praise and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory, all the saints. the glory.
Father, we really thank you to remind us that our life is nothing but dust. You have given the life and you will take our life away. And our life does not belong to ourselves. It is yours. We are entrusted with this body and spirit and gift of family and gift of children, gift of even church. It all belongs to you. Father, nothing that we'll carry with ourselves when you call each one of us to your realm. Let us be wise to count our days and devote each and every day that you would grant us to be consumed, to praise you, to honor you, and to have in communication with you, so that the people in this world will know that we are the light and salt of Jesus Christ. May your Son's glory be lifted up high so that you would be the recipient of that glory. And until then, Father, let your Holy Spirit continue to remain in us and charge us and strengthen us, encourage us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.